Even though I know so many of you, my wife and I have been coming here for 27 years. We consider this our Abbotsford home church. We have a Ukraine home church. We have a Castlegar home church. And I've got a multitude of African home churches. But even when I, you know, consider this like a friendly place, every time you're speaking publicly, you're like, you know, am I going to mess up? And there's nothing quite like worship to just kind of ease and calm those nerves, because what does the Bible say? It says God dwells in the praises of his people. And we're welcoming his Holy Spirit to come and be present here, and just to really, in my case, ease the nerves. I'm going to come a little closer here, if you don't mind. And let me just start by saying it's a real pleasure to be able to come and share some time with you. I have more to share than I think we'll have time to share. I hope it's not kind of like drinking water from a fire hose. I've shared it that way before. Since I last shared, I think it was 2 years ago, I had the privilege of going to Africa and to Europe a few times, and just seen some amazing testimony. I'm going to be sharing some videos with you today, so it'll be a little bit video heavy, but hopefully it'll be encouraging. If it becomes too much and you kind of gravitate to watching NHL highlights or something, like use earbuds or headphones. I have some spares if you want some that are Bluetooth. They're not too bad. And I just wanted to comment about the African shirt. Somebody asked me about the African shirt and what I was wearing, and I do tend to dress up a little bit when I speak, but this was, if you join us on a trip to Africa, you too can get a hand-tailored suit. This does come with matching pants. I thought I would tone it down just a little bit. But I do want to say that I toned it down because this was my other option. So this is Togolese. This is from Benin. And this comes with a matching shirt as well. And I did a sermon once in Castlegar. Now, the church there is Pentecostal, so I can get away with it. But I wore that full outfit. But I will say that they have elasticized waistband, so I can fool myself into thinking I don't need to lose weight, which is another little bonus as well. I just want to briefly share a couple of things about Kim and I. And then I want to anchor our text today in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and that'll become clear. And that even ties in with some of the music that we shared today. I'm astounded by how the Lord brought in these threads of Christ died. That's the foundation of the message, Christ died. God died, actually, in Christ. And then some updates of some of the areas we're working in, a fresh video from Ukraine as well, that just came in a week and a half ago, because we've been working in Ukraine for at least 10 years now. And I'll try not to cry after that, because my wife and I had the privilege of living in Ukraine for 9 years. That's where we first got tied in with Mountain Park as well. And then a little bit on my perspective of what might be lying ahead, because I do think we live in very exciting times. We really live in some astounding opportunities and some real tragic times as well. So there's no point in lying about the challenges that we face in the world. I'm going to ask if you'd just pray with me, and let's start. Heavenly Father, we bless you for your care and your presence. We bless you that you are sovereign. You are God, we are not. We thank you that none of the challenges that the world is facing or will ever face or has ever faced will ever confuse you, will ever confound your plans. You are in control. Lord, just help us be sensitive and led by your Holy Spirit, to be sensitive and obedient to you. And would you help me measure my words? Would this be an encouraging time? But would it be led entirely by you? I thank you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. My wife Kim and I have been with an organization called Power to Change for 28 years now. First time we landed in Ukraine was January 6, 1996. It was 19 degrees below zero. I like that I can do this, forgive me, this is great. I have mobility. Ukraine was just coming out of kind of post-communism, wrestling with hyperinflation, and we had the privilege of living there for 9 years. And since then, since we came back to Canada in 2005, I've been working with Global Aid Network, which is the humanitarian division of Power to Change. And Kim is now working with Digital Strategies, which is an online forum with Power to Change. The world is online. We help them know Jesus. That's their tagline. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about unreached people groups, because nothing quite has the power to reach unreached people groups in the far corners of the world the way the internet is having now. And if you couple that with AI, as weird as AI can get, and AI can go into some very dark places, but I believe God could use that. And God could reach the whole world in a nanosecond anyway if he wanted to. He could just choose to do that, but he chooses to invite us into the process. Let me start with the core of the message, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll just read from verses 1 to 8, and then I'll expound on that a little bit. Oopsie. If I open the right app. This is from the ESV. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, or to Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, or stillborn, as Paul says about himself. He appeared also to me. This is a really pregnant passage. It has so much in it that you could even tie into early church doctrine like the Apostolic Creed. It's so packed with the idea that God took on flesh, that God lived a perfect life, that God died a horrific death, and that God rose physically and ascended to heaven. And this thought, 1 Corinthians is one of the earlier books in the New Testament that was written. The scholars believe that the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians were written first, perhaps, and then 1st and 2nd Corinthians. So it's an early text, and Paul is crafting his theology. And while I was looking at this, I realized that 1 Corinthians is actually framed by the idea that Christ is crucified. Christ was crucified. And in chapters 1 and 2, he anchors the whole book in that concept, and then he has a whole bunch of other doctrinal messages in 1 Corinthians, and then he closes it. He wraps it up in chapter 13, and in this case, chapter 15, and then finally finishes the idea of that concept of Christ being crucified, and then the book closes with chapter 16 with some final greetings to people. But I don't think we can ever underestimate the importance of Christ dying, because it frames the whole book. I was looking, just thinking about one other verse. There's an interesting verse in Zechariah. Can we go to Zechariah? Yep. This is a fascinating verse that ties the idea of Christ crucified back to the Old Testament, and the idea that God died. Now, this was such a contentious passage in the Hebrew text that many translators changed it. Why did they change it? If you look at the NAB, I believe, NAB translation, the NASB, they're not bad translations in themselves, but this was such a hard concept to grasp that God, Yahweh God, would suffer a mortal wound, that they changed it. So in this text it says, "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me," who is me? It's Jehovah God. "When they look on me, the one whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns as an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn." If I look at the whole chapter of chapter 12, Zechariah chapter 12, some commentators would say that it's even looking to that day. Some people might even submit to the times that we're living in right now, where Israel is brought back into the fold. I'm not saying Israel's perfect, I'm not saying any culture, any people are perfect, but where Israel is actually brought back into the fold, and Israel will see this. But this was such a contentious verse that they've changed it in some translations to say they will look on the one whom they have pierced. And they've changed the pronoun from me, on whom they're looking, the one they've pierced. And I don't think we can ever completely understand in this life the power and the impact of God taking on flesh and dying in our place. And that's a transactional thing. That's God's life for our lives. And there's nothing I know this is not new to many of you, but I think it bears reminding. There can be nothing more powerful than the infinite God dying to exchange his life for our lives, because it's an infinite impact on all people, all cultures, all tribes, and all times in history. So the cultures that we typically work with, or that, you know, when I go to Africa or I go to different countries, they work on a sacrificial system where they feel compelled to sacrifice something to earn God's favor. And we might fool ourselves into believing that we don't kind of follow the same set of rules. You know, we're not in Tanzania, we're not in Liberia or Togo or Sierra Leone or Southeast Asia. I'm going to share a few videos with you shortly about that concept, but it's important to note that we actually operate on a sacrificial system too. We just don't see it that way always. We think transactionally in our culture. In Western culture, we think transactionally. If someone, for example, pays for a meal at a restaurant, and they say, no, I'll pick up the check. What are we tempted to say? Well, besides thank you for picking up the check. But we often think, well, I'll pick up the next check, I'll pick it up next time. Or if somebody brings a nice gift to you when you invite them over for dinner, in the back of your mind, okay, well, how can I reciprocate and do the same thing when I get invited over to their place, right? I even have some nice strudels from a bakery in Vancouver for later today. So that's just the way we think. And there's nothing wrong with it, as long as we don't go that step to say that we're trying to earn God's favor in some way. But as I said, the sin in our lives is such that we can't sacrifice enough to pay for the price of our sins. We just can't. There is no sacrifice that's big enough. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that's what we sometimes call the great exchange, his life in exchange for ours. And African and warm cultures, they get this, they understand that. And I'm gonna share an example of a video. This is more of a Western concept. It's called Falling Plates. Have any of you seen a video called Falling Plates? It's not a new video. I'm just gonna unpack it just briefly. Falling Plates is a video that was put together by Crew, or Crusade, out of Orlando. It's on an app, on a phone app called the Jesus Film app. And I'm gonna talk a lot about the Jesus Film app today. It's an app that you can download in like a minute on your phone. And it's an app that I've used in some pretty wild places, and I'm gonna share one that took place a week ago. I'll share it a little later in Nepal. A friend in the Castle Guard was in Nepal a week and a half ago. But the Jesus Film app is free, and it gives you access to every translation of the Jesus Film in about 2,300 languages. The Jesus Film is in the Guinness Book of World Records is the most translated, most viewed film of all history. It's in about 2,300 languages. This video is also on the app, and it talks about sacrifice in our context. It's called Falling Plates. It's in 45 languages. I love that video. I've probably watched it 50 times. But I just started showing it at church presentations for a few reasons. One, it's a visual, artistic way to remind us of what God accomplished. And it's also a tool that any of you can use. And it's literally in our pockets. The Jesus Film app is something you can download on your Apple Store. You can download it on, Play Store on your Androids? I switched from Android to Apple. Don't judge me, but I did switch from Android to Apple. Apple has a better camera. And you'll understand why in a minute, because I'll show a video that I took literally at the airport in Sierra Leone. But the beauty of that is, I'll just give you one example. We were at a Denny's restaurant in the US, and our waitress is Ethiopian. And I could just look at her. I knew she's either Ethiopian or Somali, has a very distinctive facial feature in her accent. And I said, well, where are you from? And I said, she goes, well, I'm from Ethiopia. I go, oh, that's neat. I know one word in Amharic. I said, what language do you speak? And she said, well, the country's language is Amharic. And I said, well, I'm a Sakinalu, that's thank you in Amharic. And she's just kind of in shock, because it's the hardest thank you I know. And I said, well, what's your heart language? Where did you grow up? And when she goes, I wouldn't know, you wouldn't know it. And I said, well, try me. And meanwhile, I have the phone out. I have the Jesus Film app in front of me. And she goes, my language is, I can't remember what she said, but it's Sinalmo or something. So I type in Sinalmo. And I go, well, I've got a film in your language. And she's like, she just stopped cold. And she goes, yeah, nobody has a film in my language from my tribal language. And I said, well, what's your email address? And type it in. I go, thank you so much, Maria, whatever her name was. I just be curious what you think of the translation. And you know, she watched it. She actually watched it, and she said the translation was really good. And I'm not in charge, I'm not in control of her heart condition or the soil that the seed lands on. All I'm in charge of is sowing good seed, trying to sow the best seed we can, you know, whether it's a Jesus film or a Falling Plates. But that's happened over and over again. And Uber drivers are almost exclusively Muslim. So you get to talk with an Uber driver, and I start with food. So I'm in Saskatchewan, it's minus something obscene in Saskatoon 2 years ago. Driver's from a Muslim country, and I start talking about food, and he goes, oh, I miss good food. And oh, I miss African food, I miss Sudanese food, I miss good coffee, good, and he's just like, oh, you're right. And you just build this rapport in 3 minutes with a driver. Well, what's your tribal language? Well, I'm from Somalia. Well, what? And the same thing happened. I didn't hear back from that guy. But you're just sowing seeds. It's low risk. And it's really easy. And in 10 seconds, he can be watching any of these films in their tribal dialect right online, just like that. And I'll share a story from Nepal in a minute. I hope I can come back to that. Oh, my goodness. You know, in a lot of cultures, you know, and countries, we're able to show the Jesus film openly. And in others, it's a little bit more difficult. You know, demonstrating God's love comes first, usually in the form of a water well, or in Ukraine, which you'll watch a video shortly, it'll be in the form of some aid and some colleagues that we know from our German office that will bring it in. But sometimes you have to demonstrate God's love first. We've been doing that in the Maasai tribe area in northern Tanzania, where the Maasai people don't trust anybody. They haven't trusted anybody for as long as we can remember. Because the government just wants their land, they want their cattle, but they don't care about the Maasai. And they really didn't believe us. I might have shared this last time I came in, but they really don't believe us when we say we're going to come and drill a water well, because it's almost impossible to drill a water well in the Maasai area. And when we went to visit last year, we had drilled 10 successful wells out of 10 boreholes. And they saw that as God's intervention. They couldn't escape that. They also saw it as a fulfilled promise, because government leaders would be coming in and saying, yeah, we'll bring you water, and then they'll never show up. We'll bring you water, vote for me, and then they disappear. That's what the government leaders do. And I'll tell you one other thing. Whereas our water wells average 56 meters in depth, this water well that we visited was 205 meters. Our team was tenacious, and they hit water. But then guess what? Once they see we've brought them this massively valuable gift, they can actually settle down. They don't have to be nomadic anymore. And what this one tribe did was they have money. Their money is just walking around on four legs. And they sold a bunch of cows. They bought a submersible pump and a generator, and they bought a 5,000 liter tank. And forgive me if I share this with some of you. I know some of you get our update letters. But what was neat about that was that instead of the women and the girls, because it's always the women and the girls, they would spend 12 hours a day collecting sludge from the hills, you know, from puddles, trying to get maybe two or three jerry cans of water. Crud you wouldn't feed to your pets. In this case, they've got fresh water. They only have to come for an hour. They wait in line. There were 50 people with their mules, and they would get 12 jerry cans of fresh, clean water. Well, what do you do with the other 11 hours? They can raise their kids. They can look after their hygiene. They can plant farms. They can take care of their communities. They can do things that actually help them thrive as a community. And then our team members were saying, once we taught them, well, we brought them water, we taught them hygiene, we taught them some maternal newborn children health stuff, water and sanitation. We said, we've got this film. They said, yeah, come and bring it in. And now we're planting churches in the Maasai area. And anyway, it's pretty cool stuff. It was really privileged to be able to see this lineup of people. And then they have even community just talking with each other while they're waiting. It was really neat. I want to share, 1 second, what have I got here? We just finished a project, a three-year project of reaching some unreached people groups. Two of them in Benin. Benin is the birthplace of voodoo. It's where all voodoo practitioners come for their kind of their pilgrimage. They go to Benin. It's also a sending port for the slave trade that dates back hundreds of years. And you can go to this gate where the slaves would go through on their way to go to the Americas as slaves. That's a whole conversation. But we had the opportunity to reach two unreached people groups in Benin and one in Tanzania. The two in Benin are called the Ani tribe, it's only about 3,000 people, and the Fulfulde tribe, which is in the area of 50 to 100,000 people, and then the Asa tribe. And we have a video that's a summary. Do you have the AFA project? Is that one of the videos we've, yeah, this one here. I'll cue this one up. So this is the AFA project that we just wrapped up. Well, praise be to God. Give him a round of applause if you want. We, you know, in America and in Canada, especially with Campus Crusade or Power to Change, we love numbers, we love count, we count everything, you know, and Amanda's laughing over there because I know with athletes, I mean, all of, we count them all. But you have to be accountable to the people who are funding this. This was one particular ministry partner that had a foundation that funded this in a pretty beefy way. But the number that most excites me up there, even though, I mean, the decisions to put their faith in Christ is important, but it's the follow-up, it's the discipleship, it's the leaders, the lay leaders who are being trained. And I want to be very sorry, I apologize. Can we do 10 more minutes? Is this okay? Yeah, I have more thumbs up than I see down, and I don't see anybody nodding off yet, so I'm going to keep on going. I want to just share two things. One's a video about a piece of technology that we've been starting to use. It's called the Trans World Radio Player. I know David and Elaine know Trans World Radio, like where they would put an antenna up, but now what they've done is they've created these players that run on lithium-ion batteries, but you can preload them with all kinds of stuff on a little micro SD card. And we had the privilege last year of getting a grant for 350 of them, and they were distributed to this tribal group that you just saw, a lot of that Tanzanian area. It's hard to describe how hard it is to get there. You're actually in an old rift valley. It's an old collapsed crater in northern Tanzania near the Serengeti, near the north. Anyway, I'm not useful to describe exactly that. But the power behind this player was amazing. As the lay leaders and the pastors started to use them just, and even our workers, even our church planting workers and our well drilling workers were starting to use these players and just share the, because these are oral-based cultures. A lot of these people can't read. So how good is it to actually have the New Testament or some commentary in their own tribal dialect? We can download those and preload those. So we had 350 of them that were distributed in Africa last year. And the video you're about to watch, do we have Godfrey video up there? Do we have a video with the name Godfrey on it? Yes, so hold on for just 1 second. Godfrey is our Jesus phone church planting leader for the Maasai land area. And he was just sharing what you're gonna watch here just in the truck. And I was like, we have to get this on video. And it's just how they're using these players. And the people who did the grant and craft these players were so happy with what they've seen. They've committed another between 500 and 700 players this year. So we've got those already on their way to Tanzania next week, and I have another 300 I want to bring in the next couple of months. This is Godfrey sharing just the four ways they see these players used. And then I'll close with Ukraine. Video from Ukraine that we got about a week and a half ago, but I just want to tie up the whole technology thing. I discovered a few years ago just the power of carrying a bag full of little micro SD cards, just preloaded with any number of films, any number of audio messages in the different languages. I can do it in Maasai, I can do it in Ani, I can do it in, it almost doesn't really matter. You can find all of this stuff online, preload it. And then if I give it to somebody and say, here, you can just put this in your phone, they can literally put it in their phone and they can watch it in 5 seconds. They just pop the back of their Android, pop in a micro SD card, and they can watch the audio. Or you can preload it into the Trans World Radio players and even preferably put a little bit of dab of crazy glue so they can't pull the micro SD card out, because if it pops out, it'll fire across the village, they'll never see it again, so we try to do that as well. Little side note on how technology can go sideways sometimes. But I'm just astounded how technology is making so many of these, the opportunities so much easier to reach into far-reaching corners of the world. One last video, forgive me, it's hard not to want to share all this stuff. Nepal, my friend who's actually our pastor in Castlegar went to Nepal and he wanted to reach base camp. So this was kind of on his bucket list. He'd been waiting for years to go to base camp. And he's a real evangelist, and he's very outspoken. And he also knows some pastors in Nepal, but here he is trying to go to base camp about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And He's checking all of his vital signs. He's making sure he's healthy. He's climbing altitude. But then he without really knowing it, he's coming down with something called, high altitude pulmonary edema. It's where as you climb an altitude, your cells release fluid, and the only cavity that can go into it is his lungs are filling up with water. And he's Irish by descent, so he's tenacious, he's persistent, he's continuing to climb, and he's got his Sherpa guide with him there. And the Sherpa guide is watching James the whole time, and you know, a few days in, he's checking his vital signs, and ironically, everything is fine. Everything looks fine. All his blood oxygen levels are strangely fine. And he has a dream one night at midnight of what's going to happen to him if he keeps on going further. And he takes it as a demonic attack when really a couple days later he realized it was God telling him, do not go any further. He would die on the mountain. And his Sherpa guide is talking with him in a tea house, and pretty rudimentary place. And James has, all he has on his phone, he doesn't usually carry worship music on his phone, but he has his phone with him, and he's playing worship music. And the Sherpa guide says, well, what is that? I like that music. It gives me a sense of peace. And James says, well, it's a worship to my God. And the Sherpa guide says, well, tell me about your God. And James says, it's God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in Nepal, in that religion, they have 300 million gods. They have 30 million people in Nepal, but they have 300 million gods to choose from. And James says, well, our God is the God above all those other gods. A short time later, the Sherpa guide says to James, he says, the mountain will always be here, but if you keep on going, you won't. You will die. You've seen this before, you know. So James basically, and he's keeping everybody awake in the camp. He's trying to clear his lungs, and he's just spewing out fluid. They finally decide to helicopter him out to Kathmandu. They jettison the trip. He's in the hospital in Kathmandu, and the Sherpa guide comes to visit him. And James is recovering. He's pretty weak, and he remembers he has on his phone, what? What does he have on his phone? The Jesus film app, right? So he talks to the Sherpa guide, and he says, here's a film. Take my phone, go home, watch the film, if you do nothing else. And it's in Nepali. It's his tribal dialect. Guy takes it home, goes with his wife into a secret room, because it's almost dishonoring to his family if he watches it with his family. They become believers. Not only that, but there just happens to be at the same time a pastoral conference of 300 pastors gathering together, and one of the pastors knows that James is in Kathmandu and says, you have to come and share and teach about pastoral leadership to 300 of our pastors. So not only would he have died if he'd kept on going, but the Sherpa guide would also have not come to faith and had eternal life. And James, by actually just surrendering and going back to Kathmandu, ended up being able to feed into 300 pastors. I mean, who but God is going to just pull you right out of your element? And if there's a lesson in that, don't be afraid to listen to God and surrender to God and be willing to take a risk. God did not come to give us a spirit of fear or of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's not saying being reckless or just going on your own, but I beg of you to seek to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and be obedient to what he tells you to do. I'm going to cue up the Ukraine video. We've been involved in Ukraine for 10 years doing humanitarian aid, shipped about 250-300 container loads. What's happening in Ukraine is devastating. I know there's a lot of devastation happening in the world. I would say the best numbers are probably that for every Russian soldier that dies, Ukraine loses 7 right now. I think that's a fair assessment. You could pray that this would end. I'll ask this to be queued up. I'm not sure how to wrap that up except to say that I believe Ukraine has for decades been a sending country. They've been a missionary sending country. That could account for why the enemy would push back on a country like that. I'm not saying Ukrainians are perfect. You follow the money and the power and you're going to find more answers than you know, in a lot of other ways. But I would ask you to pray that God would reap a harvest of... My hope is that people are putting their faith in Christ, despite the challenges they're facing. We have a young man that he's 40 years old, but we knew him as a young man, and he is being trained to go to battle. He's being trained to go to the front. Kim's on the phone with him on a video call with him and two other soldiers. They're both drunk as skunks. All three of them are drunk as skunks. It's 2 a.m. over there. And Kim is just trying to encourage them. And they start talking about Psalm chapter 90. And they actually read Psalm chapter 90, even in their drunken stupor. They're very much aware of the spiritual battle. And there are some good things happening. But if it's foxhole conversions, I don't care. I just want people to be, I just want to see a harvest. And of Russians too. I mean, the Russian soldiers are facing a trauma too. It's not just the Ukrainians. So, yeah, I'm just going to close with this passage from John chapter 10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I come to give you life and give you life to the fullest. And Sean, you're absolutely right. Totally. Like, there's such a contrast as the world continues to progress that you see the distinction. And would we be ambassadors of light and life and hope to people, even in our fallenness? And maybe that's half the battle, just to admit we are a mess. I'm a mess, but God's not. And as we surrender ourselves to Him, He will work through us. So I'd ask you to thank you so much for your partnership with as a church, as individuals. You partner with Kim and me financially, prayerfully. Without your prayers, without your finances, primarily your prayers, we'd be dead in the water. We never would have made 9 years in Ukraine and seen the fruit that's still going on beyond that. And there's more I could share, but I better stop there. And it's an action point. One prophet seminary said, he finishes his sermons with, so what? Okay, so what? How does this apply to me? Just download the app. Have fun with the app yourself. See what languages you can find. And just see where you can meet somebody in a supermarket or in a cafe and just be winsome. Just be fun. Have some fun. Talk about food. Talk about coffee. See what their tribal dialect is. And go from there. Pray for laborers. We are really focusing on discipleship to raise up lay leaders and to raise up future pastors because we're drilling more wells and impacting more villages than we can fill with leaders behind them. So you could pray for the capacity to do that, the capacity to fill those villages with leaders. And I'm going to ask the worship team just to come up, and I'll just say a quick word of prayer while the worship team comes up. So, yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promise that this good news of the kingdom will be preached to all nations. It will be preached throughout the whole inhabited earth as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And I just really rest on that word, will. It will be preached. Whether we engage in it or not, it's your promise it will happen. And I'm not saying we all have to be Billy Grahams or itinerant evangelists, but please help us to see what it is you'd have us do as individuals and as your church to participate and to be part of that. And I just look forward to the celebration we will have when we see the impact and the hearts and the lives that have changed for eternity. Thank you. Thank you for this time and this blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.